a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Can you find the cat?
No, but I couldn't find the dog for a little bit either. The dog ran away. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you live right now. I don't even know the date. It's Friday, October, what is that, 29 there in them little teeny tiny letters? Yeah. 2010. It's about 5.03 p.m. Pacific time. And we're coming to you live from the little hamlet of Cahuilla, California, which is in central California, right outside Sequoia National Park on the southern entrance. If you find Visalia, take your finger along the 198, find Three Rivers. We're wedged behind Three Rivers. We're a designated place. We're not really a town. We're a considered unincorporated county, which I like it that way. And it's beautiful here, 1,000-foot level. We don't get the benefit of the cooling of the summer. It's still 104 to 110 here in the summer. But I'll tell you right now, fall is just beautiful here. The trees that turn are turning. The oak trees are staying green. They just kind of hang in there pretty late. The evergreens that we have are, of course, evergreen. And we just have a beautiful time of year. It's like 70 degrees finally. I'm tired of sweating every time I do something here. So it is God's country indeed. Not all of California is a giant scab needing to be picked. It's there are little holdouts of God's dominion here. And we try to expand that every day. And that's what we do here on the radio show. Being the designated Dutch Jones announcer, as I am right now, until someone else better comes along or I get killed, the goal of this show, and everyone involved, Lewis here to my left, Stacy, where I have no idea where she went. I think she's still mad at the dog. Or mad at me for yelling at her for being mad at the dog. I don't know. Women, right, guys? But we just try and give you the message that the Lord is the way. And this show goes everywhere. I mean, I'm really surprised the places this show goes. And the pod people that listen. Facebook today was busy. Lots of Facebook listeners. And, of course, the second half hour gets picked up by Liberty Tree Radio and sent out again all over just 1 hour of it. But I've got, I don't know how many people use both hours or 1 hour. I really don't know. I don't get involved in that marketing of the show. My job is just to make sure that I mix a good base of gospel and the word of the Lord in with some survival tactics. And today has been just as busy as anything in the media. Possible bomb attacks, you know, thwarted by your boys and ladies down there at Homeland Defense, Homeland Security, whatever it is, Obama taking credit for it in the news. Just more of the stuff that was all predicted. If you guys remember a month and a half ago, my listeners that are on the ball and in places of importance were telling me all kinds of stuff I was sharing with you. I don't hold back anything unless it's really, really weird and I try to get a critical confirmation on it. But if it's the general atmosphere of the moment, I share it with you. And if it causes you to panic, I'm sorry. My goal is not to cause you to panic. It's to embolden you to try harder. So this stuff that's happened today, we talked about it a month ago. Go back in the archives. I was getting information that right around the election there were going to be a bunch of these terrorist attack things that were going to happen. And sure enough, they are. You know, UPS. Somebody rigged up a copier equipment or something to explode. And who knows? It may have just been fake, you know, an attempt. It could have been actually done by the Muslims. It could be also a false flag. It matters not to us. Just use it as a kick in the backside to get you to do more work and to double your efforts for what you're doing to prepare for your family. And this Friday, I have a whole thing planned out, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not going to hit too much survival stuff. A little bit of history lesson today. I want to talk to you about Jonas Clark and compare it to what's happening today, the shot heard around the world how the people prepared then, and things aren't, you know, the reasons might be different, the triggers might be different, but the end result is still that we're trying to fight to sustain liberty. And I would argue that the battle never ended, because as soon as we freed ourselves from the disgusting British crown, we had tyrants here, you know, with their plans and schemes to enslave us again. And, you know, there are brief periods in history because of, you know, whether it be grace or the actions of men, that we were free in this nation. And once again, it's come to a point where we have to stand up and fight again. And the grievances are so heinous and so ignored by the so-called powers that be, PTB, that we don't have any choices anymore. And when I read this history to you that I've collected today, first I'll read you something from Nehemiah 4:14. Nehemiah 4:14, get your Bibles out ready and we'll all read along. Nothing's changed. Whether it was 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, there are always tyrants and there are always oppressed peoples and there are always those willing to stand up and scream. The only thing that changes, I think, is the fashion, the music, and what we eat on a regular basis. But everything else stays the same, doesn't it? Whether it's the Stamp Act, you know, of the 1760s, or it's forced health care. Whether it's forced quartering of soldiers in the colonies, or it's, what would be the equivalent of that today? The mortgage issues that are going on, and persecuting people because they don't want to rent to sodomites. Grievance committee. We need committees of vigilance. We need committees of correspondence. We'll call them different things. We'll use different tools. Instead of a liberty tree, we use the internet. Some people don't like that because they say the internet's ungodly. It's only, the internet is just a tool. It's like saying a rifle is evil. Just the weapons have changed some. I mean, we still use rifles and things like that. We haven't gotten to the point where we got laser blasters yet. And if they have them, we'll take them from them and use them against them. But not much has changed. So hopefully you guys have grabbed your Bibles. I'm getting ready here. I got my Bible in front of me, and we're going to be going out of Nehemiah 4:14. And this is one of my favorite ones. If I were still to get tattoos, this would be one of the tattoos I'd get. Okay, Nehemiah 4:14. I'm, of course, reading from the King James Bible. I've decided that's all I'm going to use on the air, but I do use other Bibles for study. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It's now 15 says, and it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. Remember, they were building Nehemiah was building the wall around the city to restore the security of the city. And if you read more, read Nehemiah. It's fitting to the times. Half the people were set to defend the city, the other half to build the city. Even people who had only daughters were building the wall, each in front of his house. And that's what I'm asking you guys to do. If you know, I've got people that listen to the show that can't run, so they're literally building a wall in front of their house. But whatever it is, you put your hand to work, building a defense and building a security for the future of your children and for our faith. Do you understand that? Do you hear what I'm saying? Lou's supposed to come up with some more phrases for me like that. Are you picking up what I'm putting down is all I got? Are you buying what I'm selling? That makes it sound a little diminished there. Wow, there's a red howdy in there. How did you get a red howdy, Lou? How do you do that? But the verse is great. You know, somebody's got to stand up and tell them, why are you cowering? Do not fear them. Do not fear anyone but God. Do not fear those that can kill the flesh, only those that can kill the soul. And there's only one that can do that, and that's the Creator. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our General, our Commander, our Abba Father, if you would. And that's what we're trying to do here today, and I can see it all through history, whether we're discussing the Huguenots. I learned something interesting. Do you know what the word Huguenot means? Those of you that, you know, those were French Protestants that were persecuted, murdered, and slaughtered in Europe. And even in the United States, but at the time it was, you know, Spain, Florida, slaughtered there for their beliefs, and they were very passive. Up until a point where they said, hey, we're about to disappear, and they started fighting back, but it was a little too late at the end. Of course, I generalize. Huguenots is the French word for confederacy. They are Confederates. The Huguenots were Confederates of Christians, of Protestant Christians, reformers, that were encircled and destroyed many times over. Like 30,000 of them slaughtered in one battle. I mean, they just butchered everybody in the city. History repeats itself only because it's the lesson through which the Lord teaches us to get it right. Let me reach over for my one of my books here. Let's see, I got 12 minutes. Maybe before we get into that, we'll talk a little bit more. What we're going to talk about today is Jonas Clark and the Battle of Lexington. Everybody always hears, oh, the Minutemen in Lexington and Concord, the Battle in the Green, the shot heard around the world, Paul Revere, yada, yada, yada. How many of you have actually taken the time to take chunks of it and study in detail? The reason the British sent the troops north is they were coming to destroy the arsenals of the militias. Now, the militias had already attacked Fort William and Mary a little bit earlier. They had found out through their intelligence collection by innkeepers, stable boys, and such, that the troops at William and Mary, the British troops, were at a minimum, a skeleton crew, and that there was a bunch of powder and ball and accoutrements of war there. So they sent a raiding party over and took it. They didn't, like, slaughter anybody. I think they took it without force. But the British were coming to seize back military weapons that were stolen. And I'm not saying what the militia did was wrong. I'm just saying they did what was right. But they don't teach you that in history because they want to make the militia guys look like everything they did was, you know, okay. And they can't understand that maybe it's okay for us to go and use the enemy as the quartermaster, which is another theme of this show. Mobile supply pods, blue helmets. So the wise militia at that time realized, hey, we're going to need as much powder and shot as we can. We've got good Pennsylvania rifles. You know, they call them Kentucky rifles, but they're really made in Pennsylvania. We're going to need as much powder and shot as we can. So they went and they snatched it and put it on top of theirs. Well, the British had their intelligence too, and they knew that it had been taken, and they knew where it was stored, and they were going to go get it. Plus, on top of that, there were two leaders, Samuel Adams and John Hancock, which were hiding out there at the time. They were going around on their circuit, meeting with pastors and civic leaders, trying to garner support for the revolution. A lot to be learned from these stories because we're going to have to function in the same manner. You know, we have to adapt for the technology, but the stealth and the tactics can be modified and still be used. Now, Jonas Clark in the Battle of Lexington was April of 1775. April of 1775, before the Declaration of Independence. A lot of people think that, you know, oh, when did the war for our independence start? Well, that was when the Declaration was signed in Philadelphia and passed around in 1776, July 4th. Now, it started long before that, but the first shots were fired in April of 1775 as far as force on force. We had had the Boston Massacre, where Crispus Attucks had been shot for throwing rocks at British troops. Kind of the Kent State of that period, see? Yep, 19 April 1775, and it's also an interesting date, 19 April, which I'll share with you. There was something else that was designated a month before to happen on that day in the colonies that people didn't even, you know, it was just the usual thing to do. And it was just kind of interesting that it had coincided with this day. Now, the most historic... Let me turn up my headphones so I can hear myself. Are you sound good? Okay, guys, I just want to make sure. You know, we've had some problems with overdrivenness, so if I'm too low, let me know, and if I'm too hot, let me know. The most historic band of Minutemen was led by Deacon Parker under the auspices of Reverend Jonas Clark. Now, Clark was a pastor of a church in Lexington, Massachusetts. And since the struggle over the Stamp Act in 1765, Jonas Clark had become the town's principal leader in its town meetings and issues of liberty and government. Now, here's a pastor stepping into the gap. So when all you wimpy Christians out there send me stuff and say, my pastor shouldn't be running for office, shouldn't be publicly speaking, shouldn't be producing videos, or the pastors that come here for our conferences and speaking militantly, you don't know your history. Now, almost every crucial state paper written to represent the town was authored by Jonas Clark. So no separation of church and state there, right? His home was a frequent meeting place for men like Samuel Adams and John Hancock when safe locations could not be assured inside Boston. So he hid out wanted men, rebels, you know, people that were disobeying the king. He was a pastor. He gave them sanctuary, if you want to use a technical word. Was he bowing down to Caesar? Was Jonas Clark saying, oh, you'll have to go somewhere else. You can't hide here, sir. I'll lose my tax-exempt status. Now, Setch was one case on the night of April 18th. That's 1775, of course. Now, Adams and Hancock were visiting for the night, unaware that the British had decided to send troops to Lexington to destroy the town's military supplies and capture the two men, charge them for treason, and hang them. Now, one of Clark's house guests asked him on the night if the Lexington people would fight if necessary, basically saying, yeah, your militia's all that and all. I see you guys marching on the green every Sunday, but are they really going to fight? Now, Clark, who had laid a solid foundation concerning the duty of self-defense of inalienable rights for years, through his sermons responded confidently, and I love this, I have trained them for this very hour. It was a pastor speaking. I, the pastor, Jonas Clark, have trained them for this very hour. Clark had prepared the people so well in the scriptures as they related to issues of the day that the first shots of the entire war were providentially, meaning God ordained, selected to be fired on the very church lawn that he was the pastor of, the green there, Lexington Green. And I do believe that. I do believe that God chose that place to be the birth of freedom for all men on earth, to be mandated and put to the test and into the hands of those willing to fight for it. Now, the first battle and the role of Paul Revere is recorded well in William Wells' book, The Life and Public Service of Samuel Adams. And we have it here in the library. It's a great book. You should look it up. The Life and Public Service of Samuel Adams. Now, Paul Revere, of course, the silversmith, had agreed to give the signal to the colonists across the Charles River by placing a lantern in the North Church steeple. Now, this shows that you have to have a communication system. They had one then. We have one now. We have a lot more at our disposal than they did. They had to stick lanterns up, but let me tell you something. Sticking a lantern up on a mountaintop might be a lot better than dialing the phone, wouldn't it? If the British went out by water, he would display two lanterns in the North Church steeple, and if by land, one as a signal. One if by land, two if by sea. That the news might be conveyed to Lexington should the communication with the peninsula be cut off. Having instructed a friend to that effect, he was rowed across the Charles River and by horse, went to Lexington. We all know that story. He and I always hate this because when I go on the air, I forget the guy's name. It wasn't just Paul Revere. Someone in the room helped me. There were two guys. Hello, Stacy. It'll come to me in a minute. William Dawes. William Dawes also rode. One rode north, one rode south. You know, the British are coming. The British are coming. And they alerted the militia. Now, after having several adventures on the way in which he narrowly escaped capture because there were pickets set out, the British weren't stupid. They had observation posts set out, a little bit different technologically back then, usually just a couple guys standing by the road in a fire. But he was able to jump over. He negotiated his way through by promising some people, oh, when I come back through, I'll get you some hard cider, those types of things. By hook or by crook, he got through. Now, he reached the house of Mr. Clark about midnight and gave the alarm. He was just in time to elude the vigilance of the British in Boston. For Earl Percy, having accidentally ascertained that the secret was out, gave orders to allow no person to leave the town. They declared their own martial law at the time. The little villages said, nobody go out, the British are about. They're coming to install martial law, but it's safe for us to be ready. Don't go out, don't go on a midnight snipe hunt or anything. Now, Revere found the family at rest and a guard of eight men stationed at the house. Now, listen to that. What did they do? What did the militia do? They realized that Hancock and Adams were imperative people. They were VIPs to be protected, and they put eight men on the house. That meant these men had to leave their families somewhere. They probably doubled up. They probably had their families even with them nearby, but in a protected area. Eight men sacrificed to protect two men of substance in the cause. Are you willing to do that today? I don't know. It'd probably depend on the man for me if I believed in him. Would I protect Chuck Baldwin? Yeah. John Weaver? Yes. Pastor Warren Mark Campbell? Yes. Peter Hammond? Yes. But he's not going to be here for us. He's fighting for his own liberty in South Africa. There are people out there I would do that for. So these guys were protecting Adams and Hancock. As Revere rode up and requested admittance, the guards met him and replied that the family had been retiring and desired that they not be disturbed by any noise in the house and that he should leave. Noise, he replied. You'll have noise enough before long. The regulars are coming out. He was immediately admitted in. They didn't know who he was in the dark, and probably didn't know who he was personally. And given their general orders, they were told don't let anyone in. So they were following their general orders, or their specific orders, but the general orders also applied there. But once he identified himself as Revere, they were probably given notice of who might be coming. So make sure your sentries know who might be coming and who might need to have access. This goes back into guard mount training like we've done here several times. Now about 1 o'clock in the morning of the 19th, the militia were mustered on the green near the meeting house, and messengers sent for additional information. The paintings always show them out there in the bright light, you know, all practicing, getting ready, loading their muskets. But it was 1 o'clock in the morning, rousted from their sleep. These militia members and, of course, the alarm squad, which were the older men, the wounded men, the war veterans, which were in the buildings and surrounding to be support and flankers for them, were there at 1 o'clock in the morning. We talked about Minutemen last week, real Minutemen. I know guys that if you go bang on their door at 1 in the morning, they're not going to get up. Where's the discipline today? By 2 o'clock, the countrymen numbered about 130. Now, their weapons were loaded with powder and ball in the presence of Adams, Hancock, and Clark. I can't imagine what that must have been like. The tension in their stomachs, knowing that everything had come to a head, and would this be the moment? They'd had several false starts before, but would this be the moment? One of the messengers returning with the report that no troops could be seen, and the weather being chilly, the men were dismissed with orders to appear again at the beat of the drum. The beat of the drum, a communication system. No reason we couldn't use that today. We've got a bell in our church steeple that we could use. Now here's something that was written in a contemporary of the time. Colonel Smith had marched his column but a few miles when the ringing of bells and firing of guns satisfied him that the country was alarmed. So this British guy is going to be marching, and he's going to go, oh, they know we're coming. The gig's up. We're not going to be able to sneak up on them. Now, he immediately detached 6 companies of light infantry under command of Major Pitcairn and orders to press forward and secure 2 bridges at Concord. Bridges were critical choke points, just like they are today. Do you know of bridges in your area, especially if you live in a city? Overpasses, train bridges. If you have canals. Now, while he sent back for reinforcements, he had these bridges secured and held. By capturing those whom he met upon the road, Pitcairn prevented the news of his approach from being sent out before him until he came within a mile and a half of Lexington. Now, think about that. He took prisoners of everybody. He raided farmhouses. It's a little subtle here, but the truth was they were going along and dragging people from their beds, of people that weren't alerted, people that weren't on the inside circle. These may have even been loyal Tories. He still took him prisoner for his security. So see what's going to happen if you stay behind and you decide not to pick a side. A side's going to be chosen for you. And there were small skirmishes along the way, but the orders of the militia were not to engage. Let's see, make sure. Now, he came upon 2 horsemen who had succeeded in eluding the troops, and they galloped into the village with the message. Then about 70 townspeople assembled as the drums beat. And at the sound of these drums, the British halted to load and prepare their weapons. Which is funny, because you'd think they would be marching under load, but according to his own records, Colonel Smith was reported that these guys weren't loaded. Makes ambushes pretty easy, doesn't it? Kind of like what happened in L.A. when they sent in the National Guard. They were given rounds, but they weren't allowed to load. The National Guard on the border right now that I've interacted with aren't even given weapons. They might have a safety officer who has a 92F or something. That's about it. Now, the advance guard and grenadiers then hurried forward at double quick, and when within 5 or 6 rods of the provincials, although they call them provincials instead of rebels, you tell this officer kind of respected the enemy. Pitcairn shouted, "Disperse, ye villains! Ye rebels, disperse! Lay down your arms! Why don't you lay down your arms and disperse?" Basically tell them, oh, this is an unlawful assembly. You can't be here. You have no right to do this. Lay down your arms, give them to us. Everything's going to be okay. They'd already had plans to put them on slave ships. Prison ships, excuse me. Slip of the tongue, same difference, right? Now, most of the Minutemen, undecided whether to fire or retreat, stood motionless. It's going to happen. Those people that haven't been tested under fire, doesn't matter if you're young, old, indifferent. If you haven't been tested under fire, you don't know how you're going to react. The reality of the moment may escape you. You may go into what I like to call the pucker factor zone. Everything slows down. You get tunnel vision. Some people go into full frontal panic. Some people freeze like a deer in headlights. Other people rely upon their training and do what they're told. This is where, you know, all the training in the world isn't going to get a, you know, isn't going to get everybody on the right page, but it's going to limit the number of people that freeze. Now, they've been ordered by their commanders not to fire first, because we're in an army of the Lord. We're in an army of the Lord, and we have rules by which we fight. Now, some were joining the ranks, others were running away when Pat Cairn, in a loud voice, gave the word to fire. At the same time, he discharged his own personal pistol. The order was obeyed at first by only a few guns. Now, we get into something interesting here. I could discuss this point for hours. Some of the British fired over the heads of the so-called rebels. Some of them refused to fire. Some of them just put flint on and didn't put a ball down the barrel. Just poof. Now, some say that's because there were British soldiers that were loyal. There were British soldiers that were Masons. I've heard the whole thing. There's all different kinds of stories. The fact of it is, they chose to not do that. So, good choice of song. We're going to be back. We're going to continue this. I don't care if it takes 2 hours. We're going to go over this. I'm Dutch Jones. We'll be right back after the break. You guys, let me know how it sounded in there.
So he proceeded to throw him a royal fit. He told his generals, better get him back in line. Make them pay my taxes, now America is mine. Stop that independence talk before it gets around, or it's gonna be hard to hold them rebels down. Well, the king was talking about the men like Paul Revere and the Minutemen who held their dream of independence dear. They kept their eyes on the British, they watched them day and night. They knew very soon they'd get their chance to stand and fight. Yes, they knew that the British would be moving any hour, so they arranged a signal in the North End church tower. Paul was watching when the tower showed a light, and he started on his midnight ride. He jumped on his horse, hooves started humming. He screamed out his warning, "Redcoats are coming. Better get your guns and your fighting breeches on. They're coming and they're 800 strong." Next morning at Concord and Lexington town, the spirit of freedom turned the redcoats around. When we praise the men who made this mighty nation we have here, then let's remember Paul Revere. Yes, let's remember Paul Revere. I guarantee you something, and I want to tell you all, that we never would have been here if it hadn't have been for Paul. Yes, sir, I surely doubt us ever being here if it hadn't have been for that man on that horse named Mr. Revere.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bat Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome back, friends and patriots and fellow Christian soldiers. This is the
Hello.
Dutch Jones. Who is that? Is that Mr. Rogers?
This is Fred Rogers.
I thought so, just by the by hearing it. Thank you for playing Fred Rogers. He's a nice guy. He was a pastor, you know. And I grew up watching that show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I read about that in the Bible.
Yeah, but I was wondering, what kind of king has a castle right next to the train tracks? Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, King Friday. And it is Friday. It is Friday, the 29th of October, 2010. So whether you're listening to this on replay on one of our many FM affiliates, or Channel 2 on the CB, or 2 Meter I've heard we're on, shortwave, wherever my voice travels, there's only one thing you need to know. Well, there's a lot of things you need to know. But we're coming to you from the church at Kaweah, and the things I say are not necessarily the opinions of anyone associated with the church at Kaweah. Just because I'm using their building doesn't mean that. But what I'm sharing with you is usually based on the teachings that I get. So if I say something that really makes you irate, don't email the pastor. We sit down, we look at the emails, we have a good chuckle, and he reminds me to let him know that to email me when they're being little snotty goombas and can't take the truth or a joke. That seems to be the biggest problem with the hate mail I get. They can't take a joke, and they can't take the truth. They don't like it when I slap them in the face with humor or slap them in the face with some undeniable, infallible truth of the Bible. Now, the interpretive stuff, yeah, that's fine. I'll debate that with you. But if you get ugly and mean, we just laugh at you. We take your emails if you're stupid, and we put them on the special website where terrorists can look for random victims. And it's called jihadme.com. We put your email up there, and we try and gather information, and we let them take care of it. Because I figured the enemy of my enemy can deal with my other enemy. So anyway, what we're talking about is Lexington and Concord. Lewis played the appropriate song. That was Johnny Cash. He told me, he goes, hey, the song's about what you're talking about. It must be true. And I go, why? He goes, because Johnny Cash said it. I only believe it if Johnny Cash says it. So, nice faith you have in me there. Are you broadcasting me?
No.
Okay. Getting the camera ready for the next hour. The next hour, we're going to have a little bit of show and tell. We're going to show you some of the gear we have available if you make a hearty donation. If you give us your firstborn child and agree to put Lewis through college of our choice, we'll give you a key fob. And we want you to, it's a Dutch Jones key fob, and it's got my picture on it. So we want to show you what that looks like. And we also want to show you, thank you. Thank you, Warland. I'm getting some feedback now. Show you the new bumper sticker that we've got, for those of you that haven't seen it. It looks just like the old bumper sticker. It's just got more Bible verses on the bottom. So anyone that makes a donation of $5 or more will get one of these. No king but King Jesus. I may have changed the case of the letters or something, but it's got our new email address on it, or excuse me, our new website. It's got Luke 22:36, Nehemiah 4:14, Psalm 144, and Psalm 91. So then people are looking in your car at Walmart to find, because they tracked you down because you cut them off in traffic, and they'll read the sticker and maybe they'll take notes. I don't know. Just trying to do that. Well, we're going to get back to this story, and I hope you're understanding why I'm doing this. I know most of you understand the history of this great nation, but do you understand how to apply it today? The best thing people can do with history is apply it. Simply remembering dates and regurgitating facts isn't knowing history. Being able to protect yourself from continually getting stuck in the gerbil wheel of cycles is the best thing. It's why we have history. Remember, history is his story, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. It's his story because God's hand is in all of this. So I'm not sure where I left off here. I think it had something to do with no UFOs had shown up yet, no time machines. It's just basic history here. We talked about how when the British were given the order to fire. Now, the order was obeyed at first by a few guns. They were hesitant, which did no execution. Nobody was killed, and immediately after that, they kind of, I'm sure they got yelled at, why aren't you firing? Or maybe they had second thoughts, hey, I better obey or I'll get hung. The second volley was deadly. The entire British force fired this time. Nobody held back. We don't know where they aimed, but witnesses say that the entire line of soldiers fired. Now, a few of the militia, no longer hesitating, returned fire at this time. They didn't have very good effect with their first volley. Maybe the shakes, you know, the fear of the event was still on them, and they may have also chose to fire over the heads, hoping, hey, let's just see if we can scare them off. Well, you're not going to scare off the British. They were the major force of the day. They were used to butchering and shooting and torturing, and you know, and the things that were to come were just incredible. I don't know why we forgive them to this day. Parker, now seeing the utterly disparity in his forces, that they weren't fighting, ordered his men to disperse. You know, sometimes it's okay to, you know, call a do-over. Okay, fall back. Let's see what we can do here. And the mistake, I think, was standing toe-to-toe, and they learned that later, especially on the harassing them on the way back. Now, the British regulars continued their fire while many of the militia remained in sight. Now, they killed 8 and wounded 10 is the official number. The village green where this event took place had been aptly termed by historians of the time a field of murder, not battle. So the first confrontation wasn't all that heroic. Forget the paintings, forget the stories, and even, I'm sorry, Johnny, forget the song. The first major confrontation between organized and semi-organized irregulars of our, you know, of our forces wasn't the greatest thing. But it was a baptism by fire, wasn't it? And unfortunately for 8 men, that was the only chance they got. Hopefully, they did. You know, they didn't die in, you know, alone. They were able to take a few of the enemy with them. Now the firing was soon over, and the royal troops remained master of the field. But the sacrifice of that little band revolutionized the world. It was the first scene in the drama which was to carry with it the destinies of all of mankind, and I believe that. Those shots were not fired for liberty just for those 13 little colonies, and not just for those that decided to split with crazy King George. It was so that every man, every woman, every child, the world around, would see that liberty comes from God, but you have to do something to seize it from tyrants. Because they weren't just fighting for the independence of 13 colonies. And a few rich men, as you know, rich white men. That's all it was about, was rich white men. No, it was for everybody. That was the difference between this and every revolution up till that point, with a few exceptions. And of course, immediately after, the complete difference between us and the French humanist revolution. We were doing it for God-given liberty. Adams and Hancock, as the soldiers made their appearance, were persuaded to retire to the adjacent village of Woburn, their safety being regarded as of utmost importance. Passing through the fields while the sunlight glistened in the dew of the fresh spring morning, Adams felt his soul swell with uncontrollable joy as he contemplated the mighty future, and with prophetic utterance of his country's dawning independence, he exclaimed, "Oh, what a glorious morning this is." Now, some people, when they look back, they're like, 8 men just died, you got several wounded, the British hold the field, how can you say that? Well, because great men understand the small things and understand the great things that come from small things. You can sit there and dwell that, oh, we lost the first battle of the Revolution and we were to lose several other battles and we won the war. But he knew that this was finally, the sear had been snapped, the hammer dropped, the round fired, and as you know, the shot heard around the world. It was a glorious morning. Why? Because as Reverend Jonas Clark preached, from this day will be dated the liberty of the world. Now think about that. They knew. How many people in history at the moment they're standing in something realize the impact of what they're doing? 99.9% of the time, people never realize that what they're doing is as crucial as it is. That will have a ripple effect that will create a tidal wave for years to come. That some idiot on the radio will be rereading this history trying to inspire you to have hope, joy, and desire to fight. They knew that because they were great men discussing and fighting for great things. Now, the providential hand of God is evident in this event. About a month earlier, the governor of Connecticut had called upon the colony to observe a day of public fasting and prayer. Now, we have one day of Thanksgiving, and everybody poo-poos it. It's about football. It's about fighting with the relatives. It's about eating until your spleen bursts. But in reality, back at the founding and even before the founding of this nation, days of prayer were called constantly. Days of prayer and fasting and thanksgiving were called constantly at the local level to the national level. They wanted to know that God would graciously pour out His Holy Spirit on us to bring us to a thorough repentance and effectual reformation. This is official legal document by the governor of Connecticut. That He would restore, preserve, and secure the liberty of this and all other American colonies and make this land a mountain of holiness and a habitation of righteousness forever, and that God would preserve and confirm the union of the colonies in the pursuit and practice of that religion and virtue which will honor Him. Now, you're probably wondering, what day did the governor designate? What day did he say, hey, on this day, let's all have a day of fasting, no eating the turkey, do away with the turkey. I want you and your family to cloister up in your house and pray. Well, that day was Wednesday, the 19th of April, 1775. You tell me that God doesn't tell us what He's going to do. He doesn't use prophets. He doesn't go out of His way to kick us in the head. Now, those eight men that died, those that died there on the green fighting for the liberty of you and I, how do you answer that willingness to pay that debt? Just like, with, you know, I'm not comparing it to Jesus Christ, but liberty here on earth has a price, just like eternal liberty. No man could pay for our eternal salvation. But they know where, you know, I believe they were saved then because they were in Jonas Clark's militia. They know now what the effects were, don't they? And whether or not they knew there would be radios or not, doesn't matter, they're arguing because I made that comment. Says they knew that there would be some guy on the radio. Well, let's say I'd be on a soapbox, town crier. I bet Benjamin Franklin knew there would be radios. He was a freaky guy. He knew about technology and ahead of time, so. But they also knew that their sacrifice, purchased at such a high price, would easily be dealt away by most of their offspring. You know, you always have the quotes, you know, what have you given us? We've given you a republic, a representative republic and liberty if you can keep it. And some would argue as immediately as, you know, the 1820s it was done. No sooner had we started this great endeavor that it was done. We cannot belittle the sacrifices of these people. I could do an entire show just on the sacrifices of the founding fathers, their wives and families. What they gave. What they willfully gave. It wasn't taken from them because they gave it. Their fortunes, their lives, and their sacred honor. But yet today, I find less than a handful of people that I know personally. Because I don't really know you guys. I mean, Chuck, I don't know if you're in there. Minuteman, I know you. I have a good understanding of several of you through our exchanges via phone and the internet. Batfag, I believe, understands it. Lou understands it. Stacy understands it. Debbie understands it. But the vast majority just don't get it. They go about their lives willfully blinded, thinking, oh, that's a bunch of dead old white guys. What do I care? What do I care? Well, it's happening again because of that attitude, because generation after generation willfully surrendered their liberty for luxury, for avarice, for debauchery, for perversion. And now we're right back where we were in 1775, and I believe that. Now, that doesn't mean I think it's going to be November 19th. I don't believe it's even going to be my front door where this happens. We're not important enough. But somewhere in America, maybe multiple points, this time the tyrants are going to try. They're going to try to do what they couldn't do in 1775 in one big swoop. They're moving their chess pieces, folks. And they will strike. Maybe it'll be next month. I don't know. I don't really care. I wish it would be soon. I'm as ready as I can be, given my resources. And I pray that the Lord uses me in some manner to instill that. Is that your attitude? Or is your attitude, I hope they never notice me. I hope they pass right over me. Because if that's going to happen, we're never going to get this yoke of slavery off of our necks. And everybody says, oh, I'm not a slave. And even I say it, I'm not a slave, I'm free. But the fact that my movements are limited, that I can't go get a job, that I can't fly a plane because I'm on some list. I know most of you can't even fathom that. I had somebody today talking about voting. I'm even afraid to go vote. fear is healthy. I don't want to go to a courtroom. Because I know my name's on a list. How do I know there's not going to be a big meat grinder in the back room? I've learned my lesson through being wise. In the past, I've had, oh, you just won a free pair of Nikes. I don't go to those things. We're at war. We're presented solutions by God the same way that they were presented to them back there. Would you answer the call in that manner? Would you go stand on the front lawn of your church with the other men of your church assembled with weapons if you knew the time was coming? If Paul Revere came to knock on your door, would you tell him to go away? Would you call him a quack, a nut? How far have we fallen just in human measurements as far as character and strength go in this nation in 250 years, 300 years? Let's go back almost 500 years to when the first European Puritans came here. Study your history. Look at what they did. And realize, you know, we see it through a filter. I know that. There were cowards and people that were afraid and fence sitters. Yes, I know that. I'm not being naive. But we need to be the tip of the spear. There needs to be a certain element of people that are willing to stand at that bridge and say, no, sir, I will not disassemble. I will not put down my weapons. And you are going to have to use force. It is you that must run from this battlefield. Think about it. The scenario's in my head. I actually thought about changing the words of this and making it sound like it was a futuristic story and just picking Kali spell or something and changing the names and then asking you, if this were to happen, would you do it? Would you answer the call when your pastor sent a kid around on a bicycle, hey, ATF's coming, IRS is coming, Homeland Security's coming. Which way are you going to run? And I guarantee you they don't put it in the record because men of dishonor are not mentioned. There were people that didn't show up for this. There were outright traitors that probably went, hey, I just heard the British are coming and they're assembling. I'm going to go down and tell my British contact. It happened. And it's going to happen in this community I'm in, and it's going to happen in your community. It's going to happen in your own family. Some of you know it. I know you guys are. I read the email you guys give me. You guys know. The time is coming, folks. It comes around every few hundred years. Not as good a schedule as a bus, a train, or the seasons, or the insects, you know. But we know the season. There's a season for everything. There's a season to plant. There's a season to reap. There's a season to fight. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm done planting and reaping. I'm done trying to plant seeds. It's time there's a season for war. And I think we're in it. But as commanded by our Lord God at this time, if they want war, let them fire the first shot, just like they did at Lexington, Concord, all that kind of stuff. But once it's on, all aspects of full-on battle against combatants is in play, especially if we're fighting foreign troops that they bring in, you know, no holds barred. But I can't encourage you more than I am now to look back in history. Recent history, even to see what's going to happen. I know, Minuteman. I know. True warriors of Christ study not just military history, but all history. Because God plants in that seeds of knowledge that we can use against our enemy or to strengthen ourselves. Look at the way these great men of honor put their armies together. Look at Washington. Argue all you want about him being a Mason and all that. He forbid his men to rape, steal, even swear. Other great kings. King Alfred did the same thing. Augustus Adolfo. Great Christian leaders throughout history that fought both the Catholics and the Muslims forbid their men to do ungodly things. The discipline was there and God blessed them. Charles Martel. Charles the Hammer, who fought the Muslims, went into battle with a Bible at his side. Kind of like, reminds me kind of Peter Hammond, you know, fighting with a Bible. Of course, back then, Bibles were huge and would probably stop a sword strike. I don't know if a Bible would stop an AK-47, and I don't want to try it. But the character of the great men in history that fought for the Lord and had these moments of peace and liberty that is always absconded against, because there's always the Catholic Church, there's always the Muslims, there's always cults, there's always Adolf Hitler types. There's all those folks that are out there. And so we're always going to have to be vigilant. The problem is that we get lazy. We get lax because in these periods, these 100-year periods or whatever they are, we think, oh, it can't happen again. God's going to bless us forever. We forget that we're human. I think it was Gustav Adolfo from Denmark. When he came down, he joined in the Hundred Years' War because there was this little, in, you know, Germany and that area in there, Bohemia, there were Lutherans. And the Catholic Church had completely surrounded them and was finally going to destroy them. He shows up with like 5,000 men and defeats this huge Catholic army of tens of thousands. One, because he was a great leader, he kept his men healthy, he kept them trained, but he was righteous in the Lord, and the Lord blessed him with battle victories. How many people know that name? Do you know that Gustav Adolfo, and not Adolphus, I always make it wrong, but just Google it, it'll come up. He's considered the father of modern warfare, his tactics, you know, the things he did. He took, people ignored him later, but even Napoleon depended on him for some things, small unit tactics, behind-the-scenes stuff, the intelligence gathering. You know, but everybody knows who Sun Tzu is. Gustav Adolphus, great king. And it's funny, you know, you got to look a little bit, because most histories don't bring up his Christian background. I read one a couple days ago that said, although a lot of, you know, he was a Christian, he was mostly just protecting his butt. That's basically what this whole thesis said. That's why I share this stuff with you. That's why I'm starting out with Bible verses now. I need to do it more. I got reminded by some listeners. It's great that you guys catch me on those things. History. History is important. I mean, next hour we're going to talk guns and shooting people in the face, all that stuff that you guys like to go rah, 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 about. I like to keep a balance. What? Rah, rah, rah. Tim Allen. I forgot about him. I did that just... That was a Dutch Jones growl. That was not a Tim Allen growl. I forgot all about that drug addict from Colorado, comedian for Disney. No, actually, I like him. I met him a couple times when he was doing stand-up comedy. Guy has an amazing testimony. Shame he's not a Christian, but... Yeah. Thank you, Stace. Just glad you listened. Hey, look at Louis asleep. he's doing this. So what are you guys going to do with this information? I mean, is it well received? Is this stuff you already knew? Did it expand on stuff you already knew? Let me know. You can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. dutch@dutchjones.info. That's the new one. That's the new one. And also, if you want to get your own Dutch Jones email, make sure you go to lew@dutchjones.info. Email him and just say, hey, I donated $5. I want my own email.
Where's my sticker?
I want a sticker. Give me $5. I get an email and a sticker.
Email him anyway. Tomorrow's his birthday.
Yeah, Lou's birthday is tomorrow. How old are you going to be, Lou?
10.
You're going to be 11?
No.
No? Well, how old are you going to be? Do you know?
No.
You don't know how? Take off your shoes and count. How old are you going to be, Lou? Tell everybody.
15.
You know what I was doing when I was 15?
Yeah.
What was I doing? I was throwing rocks at the neighbor kids.
We don't have any neighbors.
No,
yeah, you
job.
Could. Yeah. I had a job. I had two jobs when I was 15. I had a job. I had to go to them uphill both ways every day before school. You know what I was doing? What I was doing when I was 15? The job that I had? I was doing this. I was an announcer on the town radio station. I was getting paid $3 an hour to read the news. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was doing. I had a big old blue mohawk. I had safety pins stuck all over my body. And I was reading farm reports at 4:30 in the morning for $3 an hour. It's a good thing. See, I had a voice for radio and a face for TV, the station owner said. And he made me come in before everybody else, read the farm. You know, I would do pork futures. I would do all that kind of stuff. You know, what beefers were selling for at the show down in Denver. That's what I did when I was 15. So you're not that far off. You're working at a radio station, although you're not getting paid anything. I wasn't going to public school either. I was ditching most of the time, so we were both kind of homeschooled. I was schooled on the streets. So what do you want for your birthday, Lou? You haven't even told us. Man, you're slow. What's wrong? Are you tired today? You feeling okay? You look like you're a little sick. Here, let me check something here. Oh, you're a little warm there, Lou. Have you been eating out of the trash cans again? Lou, you told you not to do that.
I never did that.
Yeah, it feels like you got a fever, Lou. You're going to be sick for your birthday. I know why he's going to be sick. Tomorrow's church cleaning day. And it's his birthday, and he's going to be sick. So that's like a double whammy to get out of it. But what if I told you that the church cleaning party was actually going to be a surprise birthday party for you? We're going to give you a bunch of 409 and cleaning rags for your birthday. And a vacuum cleaner and you get to vacuum the church as much as you want. What do you say about that? He's not feeling well, guys. He doesn't complain when he's sick. I've only seen him sick twice. And this is what he gets like. He gets real quiet. And you know how I know he's sick? He's not trying to stab me with a practice knife. So we'll be doing Reformation night on Sunday night. Those of you that are in the area. We don't do Halloween. It's at 5:30 p.m. Come on up. Give us a call before you come up. Call me, call the show, whatever. We're going to be having gruel and cheese. It starts at 5. It does start at 5. Starts at 5. We'll be watching a movie about 17th century Protestant warriors. Who knows who will... I don't remember who he's going to talk about. I forgot. But we have a game on American history, Christian history. We dress... You don't have to dress up, but I'll be wearing a kilt. You want to see Dutch Jones in a kilt, you need to come to the church at Kuia. So we really, really invite you to this. It's something good. We're not going to have a regular church service Sunday. We've already got somebody coming from Riverside that already reserved the room to come up at 10 a.m. And unfortunately, so I'm going to be entertaining them, I guess, and keeping them around. So we'll be back after the break. Liberty Tree Radio, remember, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. Did I say that right, Lou? He's like, uh-huh. If you can help us out, use the donation there. But we'll be right back after the break.
Water down its roots with thee, and the sun will always shine on the old Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. March along with the fight, we're boys, free, we're born forever free. Let's go pay the piper, boys, beneath the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Pay the price they're asking, boys, always pay the tyrants fee. Never give up the struggle, boys, fight for the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. Stand for the rights of man, boys, stand against all tyranny. Hang the lance of freedom, boys, high on the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty. It will grow as we grow, boys, it will be as strong as we. We must cling to our faith, boys, faith in the Liberty Tree. It's a tall old tree and a strong old tree. And we are the sons, yes, we are the sons of liberty.
The answer to your question is yes. You fight for me, you get to kill the English.
Excellent!
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There's rebellion in the wind.
that gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Pat's Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Boy, Lewis is... Wow, Lou. Anyway, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I do not see... Oh, there's Ed. I see Ed in there. Welcome, all of our Liberty Tree Radio listeners.
Yes, hi.
we didn't see any program today to download, so we did not. Who's this? I'm getting a text here. Oh no.
What?
Another friend of the church, Brother Chapo, the chaplain for what's the name of the motorcycle club?
Last Disciples.
You guys probably won't know anything about this, but they're taking his other arm. Because of diabetes, he's losing his other arm. So prayers go out to him and his family and those that support him. Whoever texted me that, thank you. I didn't see. We have many friends here at the Church of Kaweah. We reach out in many different ways. And we have people here who take it upon themselves. And we have a member of our church that is a member of the Last Disciples Motorcycle Club. It's a Christian motorcycle club. They go out and preach to Hell's Angels. I don't even know all the. I don't know any of the gang stuff. I don't like that stuff. I'm not chosen to go into that. But our brother that does it, I pray for him every time he goes. So that's whoever emailed that to me and just or texted me that, my prayers go out. Well, that's red hot. What's going on there? This one's not broken. That's the broken one. We got to replace that one. Save that. I replaced the wrong microphone bracket. I replaced the wrong one, Lou. This is broken. That one's good. Well, here we are. Welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio fans. Sorry about that stutter. I got that text right away and it kind of bummed me out. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you Monday through Friday on many outlets from Kaweah. We're here in California. We're the belly button of California, just below Sequoia National Park. And yes, there are good bastions of Christianity and militianess right here in the middle of California. It's not all done. We even have Ford operating bases in Southern California, don't we? A few of them are listening in the room right now. Hopefully the Lord will bless them and protect them. I pray for all of our friends, especially those of you that live behind enemy lines like we do here in California, Massachusetts. You guys need to give me some of the enemy lines. Some of the cities, Chicago, Detroit, most big cities these days. They just came out with a top 10 list of best cities to live in, and Denver's always in the top 10. And I'm always like... Because I'm from that area. I was raised there. I'm actually from Boston, but at age 5 we moved there. And I'm always thinking, there's never a good California city to live in. There's, and here I am. I'm here in California. But like I told the pastor yesterday, I'm here until God calls me to go somewhere else. We were talking about that today in our family discussions. I told him, I said, these are our plans. I'm not going to tell you where they are. These three states, these five different groups that are in those states dispersed, that's where we're going to go. Locally, if something happens and we can't hold this ground, this is where we're going to go. And the choices are getting very limited, both because of finances and equipment. Just going overland, let's say Kalispell, Montana. How am I going to get there? How am I going to get there? And that's right, Bat Fag. We're fighting an asymmetrical war here. There's no solid line. There's so much behind enemy lines. There's so many enclaves. It's easier to say where they're not. Right? It's easier to say where we are and we're safe and so far keeping our head above water than to say where the enemy is. We're surrounded, but that's good because now we know where they all are. That's simple. What was it, Marine Corps Chesty Puller? Was it Chesty Puller that said, we're surrounded? Great, that simplifies things. If I'm paraphrasing it, your Marines in the audience can send me hate mail. And that's true. We have a rich target environment. A target-rich environment, I guess, is the proper way to say that. And everywhere we look, we see Satan at work. We see the New World Order at work. We see just greed of the corporations at work. We are very blessed in that, and we should be thankful for that. It's our fault, because we didn't push the full crown right to Jesus Christ into everything, right? There we go. Ed just put it how I like it. We are surrounded. Good. That means we can attack on all in all directions. I like that. Target rich when, like, the blue helmets come rolling through our town someday. You know, people always say, like, one of the biggest fears is, like, well, we're infiltrated. We don't know what our neighbors are going to do. Well, let me tell you something. When the shooting starts, you'll know who you'll have a pretty good idea who the enemy is and who you can trust. The cowards are going to run. The informants are going to run to get behind enemy lines to be protected. And the enemy is going to be shooting at you. And there'll be some subterfuge going on and lying and cheating and stuff like that. No, there always is in battle. But at least, it's like people get mad at me because I say, bring it on. I can't wait for the day. You know, all these people talking, hey, Obama's talking about bombs and planes. And when those first reports came out today, and I can talk about it in this hour. I didn't talk about it in the last hour. That was our history and scripture hour. And if you missed it, you can go to dutchjones.info. You can go to the archive, or you can listen to the U-Broadcast replay. And thank you, Olima, for that archive. I'm speaking just for myself here, and hopefully for my family, and they agree with me, because if not, I'm going to be alone. They'll be running away while I'm standing there. Bring it on. That's my attitude. Obama this morning, when I first heard the thing, they said, we have a possible radioactive incident at New York airports in cargo planes. That's what I heard on the radio. So when everybody's getting, we heard it, Stacy heard it, I rolled over, I dialed the phone number for KMJ, and I said, did you guys just say that you had a radioactive incident on the East Coast? And they go, oh no, we didn't say that. They denied it. They denied it. And then the next one said, oh, it's a possible bomb. Then the next one said, oh, it's a dry run. And then the last one I saw before I came on the air said that Obama's announcing that this was a great victory for our intelligence community because our connections overseas and the Saudi Arabian intelligence secret police told us of a threat to bring bombs into America and other targets throughout Europe. And that it was, I guess it was copier parts that were rigged to explode. You guys probably heard more than I do. And it's just, you know, whether it's a false flag or true, I don't care. I don't care. Bring it on, though. I'm tired of waiting. The more I wait, the more edgy I get, to be honest with you. It takes a lot of my control to not be so edgy. And, you know, I need to practice what I preach more. I need to take solace in the Lord, sit down and pray with my family and my compatriots here. So we do what we can, but I'm ready. Ready as I'm ever going to be. And I want, if that's what it's going to be, if it's going to take the crucible of warfare to get this solved so that I can restore liberty for my descendants and declare, some type of state that acknowledges our Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm willing to go through that crucible. I was talking with some people today, and they said, yeah, guys like you and me, Dutch, we'll probably get killed in it because we're old, fat, slow. That's fine. As long as I know that Lewis and Anthea survive, and then go on to meet the people that the Lord has put in their paths to create families, and they can pass on the traditions and the beliefs that we hold strong, not what some liberal in Washington, D.C. wants to put in their heads. That's some, you know, they're saying now that liberal is a genetic disorder. Did you guys see that in the news? They're saying that they found the gene that makes you liberal, and that lacking that gene makes you conservative. You know, just the stupid stuff. This whole evolutionary thing. But I'll buy into the fact that being liberal is a form of retardation, although they're trying to say it's the other way around. But if you have Down syndrome, you have an extra chromosome, and you're retarded. You know, no offense to my retarded friends out there, but when I went to college and studied, this stuff, you could use the word retarded. So that means if you're a libtard because you have an extra gene there, okay, fine. Our enemies are like a disease. They're like an infestation. They're like a plague. And the Lord has over and over again given us the tools to do away with them, but yet we ignore those signs, those tools. We kill the prophets in the temple. When prophets come to us and say, hey, you need to do this, what do? We crucify them. Right now, everybody's listening. You know, there's like, you know, they do all these polls and stuff, and like 82% of the people think Obama's UN and all that. They're Johnny-come-latelys. They're fair-weather patriots. They're of no value. But think back when Waco went on and how we that spoke out against it were crucified in the media. You know, how we suffered for our beliefs, and some of us shut up a little bit and let it go on. I lost jobs over this. And I know people today that are losing jobs over it, being forced to take inoculations or not be allowed to work in the hospital where they're a nurse. Who asked that? Can libtards be cured? I don't know. Can a pervert be cured? Yeah. 45 slug to the head. Can a child molester be cured? Yeah. Rope around the neck, big old stone tied to that, and thrown into the lake down there by the dam. Yeah, I've changed my whole attitude, folks. Those of you that go back in the archives and listen to stuff 2 or 3 years ago, if it's still there. Huh. I'm allowed to change my mind and change my customs, change the way I react to stuff. Oh, so you saw that post on Facebook I found. Yeah, there's this that proved they went through state by state that are predominantly liberal states that Obama won, and the level of inbreeding is off the scale. I was sad to see Colorado went Obongo. So there was like, you know, there's like, so it had a ton of people there, the brothers and sisters and cousins that are married. But you got to realize that liberals practice eugenics. Liberals practice eugenics, like Hitler and all those guys, controlled breeding. They thought if they bred the same genetic family lines together, they eventually would get their superhumans back that were put here when the angels slept with men. I'm telling you the truth. It's all there. So the Roosevelts were cousins, big eugenics people. Yeah, Roosevelt, you know, what's his name, the communist, what was his name? Not Teddy, the other, I don't know Teddy, but Franklin Delano and Eleanor, the lesbian, they just got together for breeding purposes. They were in the same family. Yeah, a lot of people, they don't want to talk about that. And the proof is in the pudding. You know, he had polio. Stacy's all upset now. It goes back to the divine right of kings. They married brothers and sisters off all the time. The pharaohs, all these deluded systems, the recipe of their own demise is built within their own practices. Polygamy, you know, causes all kinds of legacy issues and strife. You go to the Old Testament, it's a problem. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, incest, arranged marriages with cousins and nephews to keep the wealth controlled. You end up with guys looking like, who's the Prince of Wales now? What's his name? Prince Charles. Look at that goofball. That's from inbreeding. They become bleeders. Do you guys know this stuff? The royal family of England became bleeders. Hopefully. Anyone that lost the last, hour and 20 minutes, you can get it on the archives. You need to go to, if you're just tuning in now, you broadcast dumped us. They didn't like what we were putting out, but the archive will be up at dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. On the phone right now, we have with us Bob, and Bob is talking a little bit about, he just brought up the point that when he's using technology today and they start talking about the issues of the day, liberty, they get dropped out. And I think you're right, Bob. They're doing it to all of us. It's jamming. Are you there, Bob, or did you get jammed?
Here we go.
Okay. Okay, he's listening on the air, too, so make sure, you know, don't try to do both. The delay will kill you.
Right.
It'll mess up your head. Yeah, and I think we all experience that. We all have technologies that get us. I'm getting live. Those people need to refresh, tell them. We're live right now. We're doing good. Okay, good. Thank you, Olima. Sorry about that, Olima. I know it's a pain in the batootie for you to re-edit it, but any more thoughts on that, Bob? I'll give you the floor.
I think we need to go back to the old communications. And I still have my CB and my speaker. And I also have an old shortwave that my father bought in the 50s.
Well, we're working on getting a shortwave transmitter here, a big one. We're working on it, and that is our goal. I've got a ham radio, but I'm told that it's not suitable for what we're doing. It would burn up.
Okay. Another thing you could look at are the older tube transmitters.
Right.
And linear.
Yes, we've got that set up, and we haven't hooked it up yet. I've made some new allies that are, they're radio guys, big time radio guys. I don't want to give away too much. In fact, I was hoping they'd be listening today. And they're supposed to be over tomorrow, and we're going to do a bunch of looking at what we have and what we can do. I do have tube type transmitters, but I think they're all short range communication, like 440, 2 meter, stuff like that.
Okay. I'm still studying.
Yeah. You have to.
But I have heard CB, and I have, well, I've also talked on the single sideband.
Yes.
Using 600 watts.
Well, there's a guy not far from here. I can't remember his name. He's a famous rapper. He's not in the cause, but I heard he had a setup. This guy had he's on a mountaintop up here in Springville. What, I can't remember not Dr. Dre. Remember the guy's name, Lynn?
Oh,
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Sir Mix-a-Lot. I don't know anything about rap, but there's a rapper in our area that has a 100,000-watt linear amplifier on his CB. The whole thing's in a shed. It's like a pump house with this. It's got air conditioning on it. But the thing of it is, when he keys up, he can only key up for like 30 seconds, but he can talk all around the world. He's got a giant beam antenna. You know, he put thousands and thousands of dollars into it, but, you know, he has the money to do it. I heard about it. We went to go check it out, and it's just amazing.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, 100,000 watts on a CB on single sideband. I wouldn't even want to be on the ground when that thing lets up. It's going to cook your spleen. It's going to be like standing next to a giant microwave.
Yeah. I had considered trying to get me a base station set up with and relay.
Yeah, for local stuff, it's great. I highly recommend buying every CB you can find. Even if it doesn't work, get them for a dollar and throw them in a pile. Because if you can't do it, when you hook up with somebody, there's going to be a tech that can use those for whatever and repair them. I'm told they're not hard to repair. We got a guy right now, Scotty38, has got a modified CB, and we're going out in New York right now on Channel 2. He's picking up our signal and redoing it. They're great for relay stations.
Well, right now I'm in school for CNA, like I told you on the Facebook.
Yeah, medical stuff is important.
And once I get done with that, I'll be phlebotomy, and then after my phlebotomy, PCT, which is a personal care technician.
Mm-hmm.
And after I get all that certification and working, then I'm going to try the EMT or, paramedic.
Yeah, I recommend every militia member get at least EMT-1 or whatever your state calls the basic EMT. First aid classes from the Red Cross or HART aren't as good anymore as they used to be. They've limited it. You need to get at least EMT. If you can be a certified nursing assistant, or if you want to put the time in to become a vocational nurse, learn how to do IVs, learn how to do all that stuff, it would be fantastic for the cause. We need, everybody should be at least a medical basic technician.
Roger.
Yeah. So communication, it's all there. Well, you have anything else you want to share?
God bless America, no one else.
There you go. Thank you, Bob, for calling in. We appreciate your input. As always, anyone's free to call. Thank you very much. Good night, and God bless you. Try to get it before you hang up. I'm bad at that. Hopefully that sounded good. Sorry about the dropout. That was just the strangest. It had to be a you broadcasting. And again, if you're just tuning in now, you're only going to get the last 45 minutes of the show. You have to go to the archives to get the whole show, but we will leave this portion up to loop. And thank you. Thank you, Olima. And sorry to Ed for losing that. Hopefully you, I know it's a pain when you have to sit there and monitor the signal. I used to have to do that all the time. It'd be better if it was solid enough you could walk away. Well, what we're going to try to do in that, we want to move down the road. We want to move down the road to some place. It's about $300 a month for a storefront if we just had the donations. If we could pull in the donations, we'd get that storefront, get a hardline internet in there, and we could stream 24 hours a day. We'd put the transmitter down there. We'd do everything from that little storefront. We've talked to them, but we've got to have a steady income.
We can't do it. Dude, you should never walk away from a live stream. I know people that do it all the time, man. I used to, when I was a kid growing up, Ed, we'd be running the Denver Nuggets football or basketball game on our local radio station. And the guy that would do it, for like 10 minutes, he'd have dead air, and you found out he went across the street to get nachos and a big gulp from the 7-Eleven. And my boss would get so mad, and he'd call me because I live near the station. He's like, DJ, get over there. And the guy would be gone. Well, one day, he never came back, and I didn't know what was going on. He got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
That was my big break in radio. I was like 14 or 15, and he left during, I think it was either Denver Nuggets or a high school football game. I don't remember which. And he got hit in the crosswalk and didn't kill him, but he never came back. I mean, he cracked his pelvis and everything. And I called the station owner, and he says, well, can you do it? I go, yeah. That was my big break in radio. Because up till then, I just wound carts, sat in and helped out with production. They used my voice on a few commercials. But, yeah, you never walk away from a live stream. And I like that attitude. That's why Lou lives in this little room up here longer than I do, because I make him sit here and monitor stuff. But if you're gonna, the rule is if you need nachos, get them before you go to air, or have a lovely wife who will bring you food. My mom used to do it. I used to have a shift from midnight to 6 for the Larry King show. To this day, I hate Larry King. Larry King would come on at 10 o'clock, after the news at 10 o'clock till like 2 a.m, and I had to play all the local insertion commercials, make sure the network feed was going. It all came over phone line back then. We used telephone lines, very little satellite. This day, I hate it. But when I'd be hungry, if I'd be working all day on my other jobs, especially in the summer, I didn't have time to eat. I'd call my mom at like 10 o'clock at night. Mom, can you bring me a hot plate? And she'd bring, I remember, the thing that she would bring the most would be chopped up potatoes, ground beef, an egg, and baked beans. That's why I weigh 300 pounds today. I'm just kidding. But she would bring me that food, and I loved it. And she was proud of me. That was one of the few good things she ever did for me. One day I'll give you a whole testimony of my mother. We're going to be back, you know, Homeland Security allowing us to, and we'll talk a little bit more in the next half hour about whatever. I'll give out the phone number for those of you that want to call. But you're listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. Please go to DutchJones.info. Please go to DutchJones.info if you're not already there. Check out what we got there. Get some free manuals. And also, scroll down a little bit, And you'll see there's a place to donate. You donate $5, you get a free email service from us for what it's worth, and you get a bumper sticker. You donate more, you're going to find out in the next half hour what you'll get. We're going to do some show and tell with the camera. We'll be right back.
For Uncle Sam, but when they asked them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd shout so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way. I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own. Our government is bigger than it ever was today. The more they hire to work for it, the more they have to pay. Our public servants should be proud and honest, you would think, instead of taking bribes and dressing up their wives and men. The taxes keep on going up, of that there is no doubt, but still they just can't take it in as fast as they dish it out. Our national debt is monster size and growing every day. Our children's children still unborn are gonna have to pay. Our dollar used to be the soundest money on this earth, but now $2 won't even buy one good dollar's worth. Unless we stop inflation and take care of what we've got, the communists may win the fight and never fire a shot. Oh, I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world
order. Attention. Government. This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay. Hello, we are now streaming video as long as we can. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. This is our last half hour for our October 29th episode. If you missed, I got to scrunch down so I'm in the video. If you missed the first hour and 20 minutes because we got dumped, we're in the archives. You can go to dutchjones.info, www.dutchjones.info, and you can catch the whole show there probably by tomorrow. If not, you'll just hear the loop. But this is the portion of the show we call the Dutch Jones Home Shopping Network. You're always going to hear me. You guys hear me okay? Let me know out there. You're always going to hear me talking about gear you need, and you need to get it somewhere. Why not get it from us? We have a financial need here to keep this going, to keep our family going. This has turned into almost a full-time job for us just to keep the stuff up and running. We're also doing other FM things and things like that for the cause, the holy cause of liberty. But if you make a donation of $50, you'll get this little trauma kit. And I hope I'm showing it here. It's Molly. We've got several of these. This isn't just a one-time thing. These are things that we have multiples of. We tried to sell them. People don't want to buy them. We bought the stock. So if you want to make a donation of $50, you get this. Now, what does it have in it? It's got one pressure bandage, one elastic bandage, two 4x4s, four alcohol wipes, four 5x9 abdominal pads for gut wounds, two clean wipes, one pair of latex gloves, one pair of scissors, 10 pain relievers. Lou just took two aspirin, not out of this. Two Plasti-Pore tape rolls, two benzyl chloride wipes, one triangular bandage, which you should have, four burn creams, one iPad, and one first aid set of instructions. But there's still room in this. It'll expand to put your tourniquet in and all those other things that you're going to need. This is the starter kit. This is something. This isn't the kit that's going to go right here, because look how big it is and annoying it is. We've got those too. But this is something you would put over your shoulder right here on your belt. And if you donate $50 through PayPal and say, I want the trauma kit, we'll ship one of these off to you. Okay. Now, I know you can go buy one for $40 somewhere. I think that's what they sell them for where we get them. But the $50 is a donation. We're giving you this as a gift for your donation. And you'll get something else. We'll throw a picture of Lou in there playing volleyball or something. You'll get bumper stickers, whistles, I don't know. DVDs, lots of different training DVDs, the DVDs that I talk about all the time. There are no syringes in this. Worland's asking for syringes, you hypo freak.
You hypodermic cowboy, you. But you can add stuff to it. It's got Molly on the front, Molly on the back. Our dog's named Molly. You can buy this. You don't get Molly the dog. You need to have a first aid kit. I don't care if it's something as simple as this. This is a little one. This is an old World War II level one, but it's got lots of room. There's tweezers in here. There's two pressure bandages. I think these are like Portuguese or something. No, it's in English. It's Jungle First Aid Kit. You make a $30 donation, you get one of these. This is one of the. This is a $30 donation one. This is the one that can go right here. And look at all the extra room in here. You're saying, oh, there's not enough stuff in there. These are the basics. Everybody asks for blood clot agent. We sell blood clot agent. We'll put some, when Lou's not sick and overworked, we'll put that up. But for $30, you get the jungle kit. So if you want to donate $30, you get a bumper sticker. Write jungle kit, jungle first aid kit. Stacy just grabbed, we have a bunch of other stuff. You never know what we're going to have. We're working on it. You okay? What's wrong? Oh, Stacy took a spill today. She decided to dive off the post office front porch into the gravel. She's something's hurting right now.
My ankle gave out.
Yeah, she says her ankle gave out, and I think she was wrestling a squirrel, but that's just me. So $30, you get the jungle kit. We have a dozen of these, and we can get more. $30 donation to the Dutch Jones. It's real easy. DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. And then right underneath where the player is, if you're already in there, you look down, you see a little, what's it called? Pitch in?
Chip in.
Chip in. Lou takes care of all that. I don't understand all that stuff. And what it does is it allows you to just use your credit card or anything like that, right? Can you register? Or do you have to? It's like a PayPal thing? Those of you that
or
hate.
A credit card.
Or a credit card. If you hate PayPal and don't want to use a credit card, simply mail us a letter with $30 in it that says, hey, I want the little jungle first aid kit. 30 FRNs, whatever the going rate for silver is in coins, we'll trust you. Seriously, we'll take silver and gold. Yeah, we want $30 worth of gold, which is like, a fingernail clipping. $50 for the big trauma kit, $30 for the basic shoulder kit, the jungle kit, and we'll do that to you. Post Office Box 31, Cahuilla, California, 93237. It's all on DutchJones.info, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lou. Hang in there, Lou. We're going to make it. Now, if you also want to donate $30 and you've already got your medical, but you want a really nice cheek piece for your sniper rifle, can you see that? It's brand new. See, this stuff is brand new. Still has the tag on it. I have a rifle. I put one of these on my rifle, but I didn't bring it. I was going to put it on that rifle, but I forgot to because the dog ran away just before the show. But this has a little area on this side. It's all Velcro. Holds your rounds. See? Here's a cheek pad. Get your good cheek weld. Does not work on SKS rifles or smaller or the like. I've got them on the Mosin Nagant. Works on a 1903, M1A1, M14, all that. Doesn't work on the smaller carbines. Does not work on the M4. This isn't for that. You could modify it, but why? Why not just get what you're supposed to? If you've got a bigger rifle, and this one's digital. What do we have? We have just digital left right now? But we can get these in digital, olive drab, or woodland. Can we get them in woodland? So for $30, donation, say, sniper cheek rest, and tell us what pattern you want it in, and we'll order it and get it to you. But this one right here, this one's in my hand. You want this one right now? You put that money in. 2 days after the money goes into our account, we'll ship it to you with bumper stickers. Where'd the bumper sticker go?
Oh, no.
What'd I do with the bumper sticker? Yeah, can you get me one again? I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm putting stuff. Lou's eating them. But anyway, you'll get a bumper sticker. You'll get, what training videos are we going to give out? Oh, here's one. Okay, I'm going to hold this up. You guys, Okay, I'm going to hold it up. I know it's digital and it's flip-flopping. They want to see the dog. Where's the dog at? So right there, you've got your different Bible verses on the bottom. It says, no king, but, and then in caps, King Jesus, white on black. It's a small bumper sticker, I know, but it's good for sticking on your computer. We got them all over the place here. And it has go to DutchJones.info to learn more. Luke 22:36, Nehemiah 4:14, which we started the show with today. Psalm 144, I think we started that yesterday, Psalm 144 or 143. And Psalm 91, the warrior psalm. Here it is, 91st Infantry Psalm. You'll get one of these. Now, we've got training videos that we'll throw in there. We're not going to let you pick those. If we send you something you already have, give it away. Because we've got so many,
And Lou, he's going to take his. He's raised about $100 in birthday money and work money.
$86.
And what are you going to buy with that?
Split Second Survival.
He's going to get the entire set of Split Second Survival. Dedication right here. 15-year-old kid. I'm proud of him. Proud of him. So if you want this or anything else, you can go to djstore.tk. djstore.tk. Do you have that commercial ready to go?
Yeah.
We're going to play the commercial in the middle here. djstore.tk. And then when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Scripture. We're going to talk a little more about, you know, whatever. I'm not even sure what we're going to talk about. But that's my pitch. I don't want to do it every day. I don't want to do it every week. But there is a financial need to keep this ministry going. We're not going to lie to you. We've got needs. The station's got needs. And if you enjoy what I'm putting out, if you think it's valuable, you can only send $5 to it. But if you can do $50 or $30, you'll get these gifts as a token of our appreciation. Somebody told me I should sell my sweaty T-shirts or something. They do on the pastors do on the televangelists. You can have my rag that I've been wiping my head with during this ceremony. Yeah, I think it's. I'll send you my targets. You guys want to put an official Dutch Jones target or a Lewis Jones target up in your window? We can do that. I'll go out and shoot a target. I'll shoot a T-shirt for you too. You know, if we can get a UN helmet, maybe we can auction that off. I don't know, but we've got to get creative for the fundraising because I know it's hard for you guys. I know you don't want to do that. You get the commercial ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back after these massages. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Okay, we're back. I just tried it. It doesn't fit on a Mini 14 either. It's too big for a Mini 14. So it goes on the bigger hunting rifles. Of course, I'm talking about the cheek weld riser here. What would you call this? What do they call it? Adjustable cheek rest with ammo carrier from Voodoo Tactical. Voodoo Tactical. And they said it's for 308 or 300 Winchester mag. You can move it to either side of the stock. Ambidextrous design. Removable center pad to lower eye relief. You know, you can... Let's see, this comes out. I like this thing. I put it on mine. You can take it out, and then I guess there's a way to get in there to change the height of it if you wanted to. But it feels like it's inflatable in there. I don't know. But anyway, Stacy wants to put it on her Mini 14. She's going to have to adapt it. And I don't want you guys to have to mess with that, so don't order it if you got a Mini 14. Well, folks, you can go ahead and turn off the video. I'm sure they're tired of looking at my ugly mug. I just wanted to share that with you and do that, get that out of the way so I don't have to, like, beg through the whole show. I'm not above begging if it's or below. Wait, no. Begging is not below me if it's for a righteous cause. I'm not doing it for me. So some of the things that people have been seeing in the news lately have got everybody scared, and we've been talking about that, and people are, you know, constantly asking me stuff. Well, let me give you something that you can is the camera actually off? I see the light on. Let me make sure. Okay. Because I'm going to get my perplexed face, and I don't want them to see it. There it was. I approach everything this way, and I think you pick it up in how I talk throughout the show. I'm not afraid in an unhealthy way of anything but God. Here at the Dutch Jones family, we fear no man. We fear only our Lord Jesus Christ, period. The fear was lifted off my shoulders 5 or 6 years ago. I was a Christian. I was bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I was baptized. I went on missions trips. I went around the state speaking in churches on different things. But I didn't realize I was saved until I lost everything. I mean, literally lost everything. My wife walked out on me for another man. I didn't get to see my child for a while. Lost my job because they found out I was in the militia. And then there was a series of fires, mudslides, and floods in Southern California that took what was left of my belongings. I literally ended up in a 1986 Suzuki Samurai with my three-day rucksack and a handful of guns that I was able to get out before my car was swept away. I had a big old Dodge Intrepid that was full of my rifles and tactical gear. And when the vehicle was found, of course, there were no guns in the trunk. Yeah, it was a twisted wreck. My camping trailer that I had that was full of my gear was found miles away, completely destroyed. My motorhome was burned to the ground before the mudslides. The fires created the conditions for the mudslides and the flooding, of course, comes naturally to Southern California. I lost everything. I was out in the field with three pairs of pants, two shirts, the jacket, one of the jackets that I still have, a pair of boots that have since worn out, a rucksack, three rifles, a pistol, and about 4 or 5 days' supply of food. I had nowhere to go. They'd condemned the area where my home was. They wouldn't let me back up to where I was living. Basically, I was a hermit. I didn't want to turn to anyone. I was ashamed of having gone through a divorce. My church had collapsed. Literally, it had fallen apart the same month. My mother died. My dog died, all within a 45-day period of my wife leaving me. Flash floods, fires, all that kind of stuff. Amazing, amazing love the Lord had for me to do all those things to me, to strip away my pride, my ignorance, my stupidity, the scales I had on my eyes, and to do away with the milquetoast understanding I had of the gospel. At that point, I got an epiphany. I was sitting there. I was up in a place called Ricci Canyon. They wouldn't let me in to go further up to go salvage what was left of my belongings. I literally got out of my vehicle, walked 100 yards into the trees, and laid face down in the dirt and began to pray. And I said, Lord, I don't know what your plan is for me or why you're doing these things to me or allowing these things to happen to me. I beg you to stop them. I can't take any more, but if it is your will that they continue, Lord, please just kill me and get it over with. Because I can't keep doing this. At that point, I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, strike me down, whatever it takes. Give me a heart attack. Do whatever it takes. 2 weeks later, I had a heart attack. It was the middle of the night. I'm sitting on the couch of a place where I was staying because I didn't have a home anymore. And I had a heart attack. At least I didn't know it at the time. I woke up. I thought someone had stabbed me. So I'm looking for blood, looking for protrusion. I get in my vehicle, I pass out, I don't remember anything for the next 2 hours, but about 2 hours later, at 6 a.m., I'm in the emergency room hooked up to everything at Kaiser Permanente. And I said, okay, Lord, you do answer prayers, and I screwed up. I shouldn't have asked you to kill me. I go, Lord, what I want is a second chance. If I have to see my daughter raised by another man, I want to at least be there to see it. I don't want to see it from heaven. Whatever you ask me to do, wherever you ask me to go, I will never be stupid again and ask you to kill me. I have no more fear because of what God did for me out of the love for me. I was like a rampant teenager running around being stupid. And it goes back to be careful what you pray for. You should hear me pray now. I'm very specific. You know, and I'm also bended towards His will. I don't pray for my will anymore. So, Lord, if you want this ministry to work, let it be. Let the listeners send in their money. If it's not to be, it's not to be. I'll move on to something else. Lou and I will open up that street mortician business we've been talking about. Or the fudge knuckle hut that Lou wants. Fudge knuckle hut and emporium, as he wants to do. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if 12 hours from now the Lord is going to allow the UN to land on our beaches. Because we need a spanking as a nation. Maybe you and I are saved and righteous. I don't know about everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I don't fear anything the Lord can do to me because I've had everything done to me. I've looked death in the face I don't even know how many times in my life. And I've been judged by God. I've been weighed, measured, and I've been found wanting, folks. Because that's the best I can do. I can never be perfect in the eyes of the Lord. I can only be loved in the eyes of the Lord. And I know that no matter what happens to me, whether I get eaten by a Bengal tiger, burned alive at the stake for heresy because I teach my children to read from the Bible and the Catholic Church wants to kill me. It could happen again, folks. They did it before, they'll do it again. I don't fear any of that. And I know you guys each have your story. Everybody has a testimony. I know there are people in this room right now that listen to this show that have poured their hearts out to me, and they've had things just as terrible or even worse than me. The worst thing that you could probably do is see a child die. I've lost two children. I didn't get to see them before they died. They treated them like medical waste when they passed away in the womb. But I can't imagine having a child in your hands that you raised, that you spoke to lose. So that's a test I don't want to go through. But if the Lord chooses to do that, I'll face it. I'll face it. Steel your hearts to this cause that's coming, to this threat. The Lord is going to spank this nation. It is an abhorrent nation. It is vile. It is disgusting. The fact that He has selected a foreign, unrighteous Muslim king to ride over us tells us what's coming. I don't need a weatherman to tell me there's a storm coming, to quote one of our singers from the 60s, Dylan. We have to stop ignoring these prophets. In the old days, remember when Jesus was talking to the prophets in the temple? They said, oh, we need a prophet from God. We need miracles. Prove to us you're the Son of God. He says, I sent my messengers and you killed them in the hallways of the temple. You beheaded them. You burned them. You stoned them. Why should I send you any more? Well, I think we're in another time of grace when He's sending us a message. Maybe He's not using prophets. At least none of the men that I listen to claim to be prophets yet. But I think the Lord is definitely speaking through a handful of them that I tell you about. Don't be a buckethead. Don't be an ignorant fool. Don't scream and shake your fist at God and say, oh yeah, just kill me, I'm done with it. Because He will do what you ask. You may not like the way He answers your prayers. Trust me, I've been there. And for those of you that, you know, want to mock me because I've been divorced and how dare you speak gospel, you're not fit to be an elder. Let me tell you something. Divorce was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It got me out of a Jezebel situation. I fought it every inch of the way. The Lord delivered me and made good from that situation, and I thank God for the family I have today. With all the problems I have with Lou trying to eat all my food and stab me when I'm not looking, I would gladly have the life I have now. With the pain of not being in my daughter's life, I know that one day I see examples and He shows me signs that one day she and I will be able to have the father-daughter relationship that I am being kept from right now. I don't know if that was just my phone or what, but I felt something. No. Folks, it's simple what we're called to do. The hard part is being man enough or woman enough to admit what we have to do and just do it. You need to have three things to be a Christian soldier. You have to be a person of faith, a person of works, and a person of war. Whether you're a man of war or a woman of war, it doesn't matter to me. We all have our role to play. That's my belief. I really believe that. You have to have faith. You have to be willing to work, both in the spiritual realm and the earthly realm. So that means you have to pray. You know, you don't get saved by works. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to do the missionary work here on earth, to serve God here on earth, to spread it. You have to be able to work. You have to have faith. You have to work, and you have to be a warrior. You have to have a warrior mentality. Simply being a Christian makes you a warrior for His word. And if you don't buy that, if you don't believe that, you are not a friend of the Lord. And I don't want anything to do with you. At the very least, you're a traitor and a coward and a malcontent. What do they call them? Goldbrickers. At the very worst, you're an outright enemy of God if that's what you do. I will not fellowship with those people anymore. I will not fellowship with sodomites. I will not fellowship with people that mock God. I will not fellowship with atheists. I'll share the gospel with them, but they're not invited into my home. They definitely won't train beside me, because why should I equip the enemy to kill me by giving them knowledge and evidence? And we have to be very critical about this. And all this infighting that's going on out there among true righteous militias, it's got to stop. Focus on who the problem is, not on who has the coolest uniform. If you've got a problem with a brother, take it to him and resolve it. Face to face, one on one. If you don't like the way somebody says something on the radio or the way somebody trains something, try and resolve it. And if not, go do your own thing and try and serve the Lord in your own way. But don't be a hindrance to the work of the Lord. Dedicate your time to making it work. Dedicate yourself to fulfilling the mandate. I know these last couple shows have gotten really spiritual, and I go back and forth. It's like a pendulum. I try to walk down the center, but sometimes I'm really moved to share with you these things, especially with the audience that we have on Liberty Tree Radio, because I want to make sure that the militias that are out there aren't working in vain. I know there's a storm coming. I just don't have Doppler radar up to know how far away it is. I pray that the Lord would give me that insight and that knowledge, but I'm not blessed with it. If I am, I don't understand it. I read the news just like you do, and I see a little bit of slant on it, and I kind of figure stuff out. This is happening. It's going on in the two Koreas right now. They're making a big deal because North Korea fired a few shots at South Korea. That stuff goes on every day. But because it's an election period, they're trying to drum it up to make it sound like saber rattling. Now's not the time to switch horses mid-course. You know, we're in the midstream. We don't want to, you know, you don't want to change Congress. There's stuff going on all around the world. There's bombs coming into our airports on cargo planes. And we both know that's just so they can get more legislation to search every package on a cargo plane. More tyranny. We are surrounded by the enemy, like we said at the beginning of this hour. Let's focus and start picking the targets, both spiritually and in the physical realm. Start doing size-ups of your community. I talked about bugging out already this week, but let's talk about size-up. What is near you that can be a target for the enemy, a relocation camp for you, or a resource for you to use? Where can you do the most damage in the shortest amount of time with the tools you have to slow their movement? Start thinking that way. Start identifying all those hazardous material tags in the industrial parts of your communities. Know where the big stuff is that goes boom and where the gassy stuff that makes you die is. So you can avoid it or utilize it or keep it out of the hands of the enemy. Depends on how the Lord's going to use you and your militia. It's time to get serious and step it up a notch, folks. Those of you that have been doing this for a long time, this message isn't for you. This message is for those that are either just getting into it or have let themselves be laxed. I praise you guys that are hardcore. I'm not trying to preach to you. I know that. I know there are militias out there that would run circles around anything that I train here to do. But the point is, you use what you have to do the utmost for our Lord Jesus Christ and the holy cause of liberty. I can hear by the music it's time to go. I got about a minute and 20 seconds. Remember, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. And you can do Dutch at DutchJones.info, D-U-T-C-H at D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S.info. Post Office Box 31, Kaweah, K-A-W-E-A-H, California, 93237. All donations are accepted. Material, monetarily, manuals, whatever you got, we'll put it to good use. We had a guy call the other day, says, I don't have a 30-06 anymore, I got several hundred rounds, do you need it? Yes. We'll make sure it gets to somebody who has a 30-06 that doesn't have any rounds. I'm thinking of a guy in mind right now, I know. Well, folks, I want to thank you for listening. I want to praise you for all you do and lift you up to our Lord Jesus Christ that he may bless you even more so that you may be just a joy to all around you and a beacon in the darkness so that others may rally around you and fight in this, the holy cause of liberty. In this, the second war of federal aggression, but it's a bigger war than that. We'll be back Monday. Remember, if you missed the beginning of the show, go to the archives. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. I'm Dutch Jones. Good night and have a pleasant weekend.